Well, good evening, friends. Welcome to the Daily Bread. I'm Joseph Lee. We're continuing our study for Dave Early's book, 28 Days to Powerful Prayer. And today is day 26. We're going to be discussing this. We did take us a few days off, but we're discussing day 26 today. And today's lesson is called Prayer and Fasting. How much do you know about Christian fasting? Have you ever fasted for spiritual purposes? Do you fast as a spiritual discipline, as a regular part of your Christian life? If you've never fasted, then I'd encourage you to give it a try. After all, Jesus expected his followers to fast as a lifestyle. When you fast, have you ever been reading the Bible when something jumped out at you that you'd never noticed before? I have, and several years ago, I was reading Jesus' sermon in Matthew 6 when something caught my attention. One word leaped out at me as if written in neon lights, and it's in each of these verses. So when you give to the needy, from Matthew 6, 2, and when you pray, Matthew 6, 5, when you fast, Matthew 6, 16, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, Jesus spoke the words in the above verses, assuming that his followers would give to the poor and pray. He also assumed that they would fast. We all agree that giving to the poor and prayer should be regular parts of a healthy Christian life, but Jesus included fasting as equally essential and important as giving and praying. When I began studying Christian fasting, I was surprised to discover that first century Christians fasted 2 days a week, Wednesday and Friday. This means that if you were a follower of Jesus during the first few hundred years after his birth, you would fast from sundown Tuesday to dinner Wednesday, since the early church operated on the Jewish paradigm of having a new beginning at sunset. And then you might fast from sundown Thursday to dinner Friday. A simple spiritual practice. The word fasting, as it's used in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, means not to eat or self-denial. A normal fast involved abstaining from all food, but not from water, is Matthew 4, verse 2. A partial fast is the restriction of one's diet, but not the complete abstinence from all food. There are examples in the Old Testament of people severely limiting their diets while fasting. For example, Daniel limited himself to simple fruits and vegetables when he fasted in Daniel 1 and also Daniel 10. Fasting can also involve abstaining from certain activities. Today might mean foregoing different forms of media or communication, such as television, movies, our phones, and the internet. In the Bible, some fasts lasted for 3 days to 40 days. Scripture also includes both individual and corporate fasts. As an individual fast was something one person did as part of his or her Christian walk, while a corporate fast could involve the whole church, see Acts 13, verses 1 through 4, or even an entire nation, see Jonah 3, Esther 4, and 2 Chronicles 20. The great thing about fasting is that anyone can fast in some way. If for some reason your health limits you from a full fast, you can fast from selected foods. If you can't do that, you can fast from specific activities. Fasting is a doable spiritual practice. It is very simple. Don't eat. Pray instead. Why fast? When I began studying fasting, I started out trying to answer the question, why should I fast? I studied every Bible passage having to do with fasting, and I discovered more than 24 powerful examples of benefits of fasting. Let's take a look at 7 of them. Number 1, fasting led Hannah receiving a long-awaited answer to prayer, 1 Samuel 1. Hannah had been unable to have a child for a long time, but after a special season of intense prayer and fasting, the Lord remembered her. She got pregnant and conceived a special son, Samuel, whose name means God heard. This boy, whose name was a reminder of answered prayer, became a great prophet and leader who shook the nation with his prayers. Several years ago, I preached on Hannah's fasting and praying for a son. A lady named Rhonda, who was new to our church, had a daughter named Megan, whom she had not heard from in more than 6 months. Rhonda, a new Christian, began to fast and pray for Megan. A few days later, Rhonda's phone rang. The voice on the other end said, "Hi, Mom, this is Megan." They got together. Megan started coming to church, and I baptized her a few months later. That's the power of fasting in action. Number two, fasting and prayer aided giving Jehoshaphat and his people an unbelievable victory. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Three armies surrounded the nation of Judah, and defeat looked certain, so King Jehoshaphat called his people to fasting and prayer. As a result, God gave them a crazy battle plan involving marching out to face the enemy while singing songs of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. The moment they began to sing, God set ambushes against the enemy and defeated them all. Israel did not lose a man. Number three, fasting and prayer gave Nehemiah favor with the king of Persia. Nehemiah chapter 1. The mighty empire of Babylon had crushed the city of Jerusalem and took some of its people captive to serve in the capital city. Later, a Jewish man named Nehemiah was working for the king of Persia, which had defeated the Babylonian empire. Nehemiah received news that the city of Jerusalem was further decimated and that the wall lay in ruin and reproach. Nehemiah knew that the city would never be able to get back on its feet until the wall around it was rebuilt. So he fasted and prayed. As a result, God gave him the plan, the protection, and the provision he needed to do the impossible job. Number four, fasting yields mighty blessings. Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 9. Ancient Israel was often guilty of empty external religion. Isaiah records the Lord's rebuke regarding their abuse of fasting. In doing so, he reveals several benefits of properly motivated fasting. "It is not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is this not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" Isaiah 58, 6 through 9. Number five, fasting may be a secret service to God that leads to open rewards. Matthew 6, verse 4, 6, and 18. Jesus promised that serving the poor and praying and fasting without fanfare brought open rewards from God. These rewards could be answers to our prayers, or the rich reward of more of God's presence, or crowns that we can cast at Jesus' feet and say thanks. Number six, fasting is a spiritual service. Luke 2, verse 37. Anna was a widow in her 80s who worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Luke 2, verse 37. This shows us that fasting can be a spiritual service most adults, even elderly ones, can perform. Several years ago, I was speaking for a conference of missionaries, and I was sitting at a table having lunch with some retired missionaries who had served in Iran. "Do you miss your ministry in Iran?" I asked them. One of them looked at me and with a smile said, "Young man, we have more ministry than ever because we have the time to fast and pray here and see God answer there." And number 7, fasting increases spiritual power and prepares for greater impact. See Luke 4, verses 1 through 14. Prior to his 40-day fast, Jesus did no miracles and preached no sermons. But immediately after his fast, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, Luke 4, verse 14, and launched his powerful public ministry. Why am I not fasting? After reading these and a dozen other reasons to fast, I changed my thinking from why should I fast to why am I not fasting more often? At that time, I was extremely burdened over several situations, so I launched a 3-day season of prayer and fasting. Within the next 30 days, I received these stunning answers to prayer. 3 young men who were critically injured in an automobile accident were healed. I received an unexpected check in the mail that provided me enough money to pay off the college bills for 2 of my friends so that they could remain in school. I led exactly 15 teenagers to Christ in a 30-day period. Your 28 days to powerful prayer. Maybe you're facing a situation that is taking you to the point of desperation, or maybe you want to deal with a situation before it gets that far. Why not set aside meals for a day or even a few days to seek the Lord about your situation with prayer and fasting? Here are some questions for you to consider. Number 1, what did this chapter teach you about fasting? Number 2, have you ever fasted as a spiritual discipline? And number 3, how do you think fasting can benefit your prayer life? Friends, please join me in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. Father God, we just ask for forgiveness of our sins, forgive us of our unrighteousness, help us to forgive others as they have forgiven us, Lord. And Lord God, I pray for those listening to the podcast, Father, that you will help them to fast and pray to get closer to you, Lord. We love you and we praise you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, friends, you've been listening to The Daily Bread. I'm Reverend Joseph Lee, and this has been a ministry of Marketplace Evangelism Ministries, Incorporated. We will finish out the book, 28 Days to Powerful Prayer, between tomorrow and Thursday. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. We love you. Take care. And God bless.